Hey, thanks for sticking around and welcome to season two of Coffee with Source and myself, your hostess, Emma. I really want to dive into the meaning and the definition of the word resilience this season. We hear that word a lot and we use it to describe people, places, events, things. That word is used to interpret many situations that we often think go beyond courage or strength. Now, the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of resilience, number one, is the ability to become strong, healthy, or successful again after something bad happens. Their second definition is the ability of something to return to its original shape after it has been pulled, stretched, pressed, and bent. Now listen, I'm going to cut through the crap. I believe bits and pieces of both of those definitions, but the truth is, and what I'm curious about, is do we really ever return to our original state, shape, or state of mind after we've been put through the ringer and gone through the edge of hell and back? That's the question. Now you know, the purpose and the intention behind this podcast is really to debunk and demystify spirituality, what it means to be grounded, connected, what life beyond, you know, this 3D reality looks like. And I'm curious about all things and I dive into all subjects. But the truth is, I want to know, is resilience something that we just are? Is it something that can be taught? Is it a state of being? Is it an emotion that we step into when it's required of us? Do we all possess the ability to be resilient? What if you're not being resilient? What does that look like? What is the opposite of resilience? Is it giving up? This season, I'm going to speak to some incredible guests who have had to be resilient, who have been pushed to their limits and who have come through on the other side. And they will share with us their nuggets of wisdom of what it was like when they were in the dark place, how they got out of the yuck. And to kick off this season, I am joined by my great friend, Deb Levine, who happens to be an intuitive psychic medium. And I want to hear from her physical standpoint what it means to be resilience, and from the non-physical source aspect, what the definition of resilience is meant to be. I'm glad you're here. Let's dive in. Welcome to season two, episode one of Coffee with Source 2022. This year, we're diving into resilience. Not this year, this season. Maybe the season will last the whole year. Who knows? But I couldn't think of a better person to share this episode with and talk about resilience than my friend, Deb Levine.
I'm excited to be back.
Yeah. And it's so interesting when I talk about breadcrumbs and following the signs, you know, I feel like often people are looking for these giant billboards, but I was just telling Deb that I set the intention to, you know, really uncover what the podcast would look like for season two. And I chose the word resilience. And I, you know, put out feelers, and resilience was a topic that lit a lot of people up. And then I saw a post from my friend Deb saying, if my life was, you know, if my year was a memoir, it would be, you know, the word that would come up would be resilience. So it was only fitting to invite her back on. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. It is really awesome to be here in a brand new year, which no pressure there, right? Clean slate, everybody. Yeah. No, there's always there. No.
No. And I was, I kept setting the intention and really clearing my headspace going into the new year, being like, no crazy resolutions. It's just intention. It's living on purpose with purpose. and all of that. And then bam, on New Year's Day, I get a call that, you know, and all day I was so like energetic, and, you know, it was a Sunday, which I loved New Year's Day being on a Sunday, because it was like the year officially starts on a Monday, if that makes sense. I'm like, it's all clean. Yep. It's aesthetically pleasing. There's the Libra sign. And then I get a call, you know, in the evening saying that my stepmother had passed away, had died really suddenly. Mm-hmm. And it was not expected. And it rocked my world. And I feel like everything that I had set in motion for this week kind of crumbled. Mm-hmm. And again, an example of resilience, because my calendar was stacked with interviews for the Monday. And so, yeah. Resilience, you know, all around us.
And I remember reading your post, and actually when we spoke before getting on here, I neglected to ask. I didn't know who it was that had passed. So I mean, I hate saying I'm sorry for your loss, because they're just words, but I really feel deeply for your pain, because I remember your post being very you were in shock.
Complete shock. Yeah. And you know what? Resilience is the word that defined Christine. Christine came into my life when I was little. She was hired by my aunt and uncle to work in their company, and she rose to the top of the company very quickly. She was the VP of one of their head offices here in Montreal, and she was young and she was sexy and she was making a shit ton of money and she was on top of the world. And, you know, she met my dad. My dad came to work for my uncle, and everyone warned her to stay away. But he charmed his way into her life. And so she was actively my stepmom for about 10 years, and it was horrible. Mm. I loved her. She didn't love me. She didn't want a part of my life. You know, they got heavily into substance abuse. She lost her job. It was a shit show. She was mean to me. Mm. She didn't want me there, but now I know that it's not that she didn't want me there. She was not herself. She was confused. Their relationship ended really, really terribly. She had to get away to save her life. Mm-hmm. And so resilience, you know, defines her. And she went away and she got clean and she went to rehab. And now, you know, I'm painting a very quick picture, but she was not the girl who was, you know, a substance abuser. This was a lifestyle that was imposed onto her. Mm-hmm. But she reinvented herself. You know, she moved thousands of miles away back to the town and city where she was born in, and got herself clean and got a great job and moved up through the ranks. And one of her dreams in life was always to live in Florida. She wanted to live by the beach. She hated winter. She was this tiny petite woman, you know, 5 foot, 130 pounds, soaking wet, hated winters. And when her company that she'd moved up through the ranks again, about 15 years ago, they were being bought out by a huge company, she was offered a severance package. And at this point, she, you know, worked herself back into owning a home. And so she really reflected and she said, you know what, this is as good a time as any. Sold her house, took the severance money, moved to Florida, had no idea what that would look like. You know, ended up meeting a man and getting married, and he was a substance abuser, and she had to leave that relationship. And so her entire life was starting over starting over. And so she was very resilient. But all that to say that, you know, a couple of years before I gave birth to Tristan, who's my eldest, he's 16, we reconnected in a way that was, I can't explain it, because a lot of people in my family would say, you know, why were you so close to Christine? And there was just this non-judgmental, I've never met such a non-judgmental human.
We need more of those.
And I think because she'd gone through so much and people wouldn't necessarily have expected her to go through it, but she loved me. She loved the kids. And so for the last 16 years, she was the first person I went to see with Tristan. You know, we were extremely, extremely close. And it was like, whenever I'm bored or need to update my vision board, I was looking at houses in Cape Coral, Florida, where she lived, because I wanted Christine to live with me. I wanted to take care of her when she was older. And my mom is gone. My grandmother's gone. Every female figure that I've ever loved is gone. So when that call came through, it was just such a shock. So what a way to you know, I'm going to wrap it up, but what a way to start off the new year being like, but wait, like I still have houses on my vision board. She's supposed to live. I'm supposed to take care of her. She's my biggest cheerleader. What's happening? How? But her mom is the one who called me, and her mom is well into her 90s.
Wow.
And her mom's voice was so strong.
Hmm.
And she said, yes, I know it's sad, but it was quick. She died surrounded by her family. It was quick. She didn't suffer. But so stoic.
That's hard sometimes to hear when you're not feeling so stoic.
So I broke down, but this is the part of being connected or being a little more open-minded or being spiritual. The hurt that I was feeling, which I dusted off and uncovered, was abandonment. I felt abandoned, you know, because I know that physically we leave our meat suits, but she's not dead. And I know that she's around and she's, you know, now I'm able to kind of look up and say, okay, now you can set me up for success. I've got another member.
Another one. Yeah. Team.
Uh-huh. Right. But in that moment, I was complete. I felt like the rug had been pulled from under my feet. And the next day I was like, what the fuck is this emotion? Because I know better, but it was abandonment. I kept looking at this long line of my great grandma's gone. My grandma's gone. My mom's gone. So many people are gone. Lost. Who's left?
Mm-hmm. You are.
I sure am.
Well, and just because it was on your vision board to go to Florida and she's not there doesn't mean that still can't be a part of your vision. If that was something that obviously you wanted to go there to be near her, but things take on different meaning with loss. It can be recreated as something that you want to live for yourself almost through her eyes in a different way.
Yeah. And it was funny, you know, because, and this is one of the questions I want to ask you after we dive into resilience. I do have a medium question because this came up when, you know, when Christine passed, but if you ever doubt, if you are a skeptic, I just have a little nugget. Christine and I, you know, we were very, very close. And the time we spent together over the last few years, I got to know her, the younger her, right? She never had children, but who she was, she went to college, her boyfriends. And one of her first true love's name was Joey. And she, you know, she told me how they got a condo together and she told me the whole story. Well, yesterday I'm on my way to the supermarket and I'm driving and I'm like, I'm okay. I've just got more support. And there was no music on in the car because I was listening to an audiobook before and I had to shut it off because it was choosing to be a medium of a book. And I was, she was literally describing a meditation and I'm like, I'm driving. I'm not closing my eyes, bitch. Like, no. So I just shut it off. Anyways, I'm driving and I'm talking to myself and, you know, repeating my mantra, everything always works out perfectly for me. And all of a sudden the fucking radio in the car comes on and the song is Joey,
baby. Oh, I love, I know the exact song. Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
you're like, thank you for that.
At first I was like, what the hell? No one would.
They always, they always know what we need. I certainly believe you.
But that the radio just popped on, I was like, what the hell? And then of course I'm driving and tears are pouring down my face because that's the confirmation of, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they know what we need.
They know what we need. So tell me, because the word is thrown around so much, and I was telling you right before we started recording that I kind of get annoyed with the word resilience.
Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of resilience?
My definition, it'll be interesting to put it into words because resilience for me has been, it's been a feeling and it's been an act of sort of getting up every day and choosing to be in the moment. Getting up every day and choosing to start that day with fresh eyes. That day can be whatever I want. I can stay in the pain. I always call it my muck. I can sit in the muck of all my stuff.
Call it the yuck.
Okay, muck and yuck, same thing, right? I can choose to stay there, or I can get up every day and say, no, the only person that's going to fight for my life is me. And I don't mean, you know, fight for my life, fight to survive. It's nothing for me that dramatic, but yet in a way it's bigger than that. Meaning if I want to fight for what I want my life to become, all of it, my mediumship path or just my soul's path, the work I want to do for humanity, if you will, and what I want my personal life to be, that I want love in my life, that I want my children to be well. That's something that I have to get up every day with intention and fight for and create, not just fight. I mean, fighting almost sounds like fighting sounds like resisting sometimes, like I have to fight against a current, but I actually would choose to use the word create. I think with resilience, I get to create my reality moment to moment. I think there we go. I just sort of put my own, you know, I don't know if it's in the Webster's dictionary, but I forge my own, but that's what it means for me personally. Resilience is different for everybody, because if you ask all of your listeners, yourself included, to define moments where they've had to show resilience, it could be what we would think of as small, but for that person, it's everything. My resilience, what I've had to be resilient from or in light of, is very different than your, what you've had to be resilient to, or however you need to say that.
Yeah. But and like you said, it comes in different shapes and sizes.
Yes.
Oftentimes we think of resilience and we think of, for me, the image that comes up is someone that's continuously knocked down, but chooses to get back up, you know, and try and try and try again. But it doesn't mean that what knocks you down is the same for everyone.
Exactly. And even if I look at my own life over the past year, if I'm looking at that especially, did it knock me down? It knocked me down in the prior years.
Yeah.
Where I had to be resilient was making a choice that was uncomfortable and difficult. Did that knock me down? Well, it certainly messed some things up. It did. It took the wind. It knocked the wind out of me, but it also, it's almost like it put everything in disarray. And that's a very neat and tidy way of saying it, but it did. So resilience can sound like a comeback, right? Like this is my comeback. Like you said, you get knocked down. I picture myself as a weeble, right? Cause weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And that's really, I mean, as silly as that sounds, it's true. When you said that, like getting, you know, or being knocked over, but when I pictured that right then in my head for myself, I didn't fall flat down, because I wobbled, because I do have that resilience. I knew, because I wanted my life to be not just okay, but so much better, so much more reflective of who I am and where I want my life to go. And the only way that we can only be resilient for ourselves, we can't be resilient for the other people in our world. We can only do that for us. So if you see someone kind of down in their luck, or well, why aren't they trying? You can't wish that for someone. It's got to be a conscious decision, and you can't just make the decision. It's got to be decision followed by conscious effort to get up every day. And that is not to say like every day I wake up and I'm like, yes, I look in the mirror, like it's going to be an awesome day. No, there's some days I'm like, this effing sucks. But you know what?
Say it's going to be an amazing day.
Well, but, and that's great too. But I'm saying there are
days. And then it's kind of like, what's going on?
And it's great to have that intention to say that, but there are days like where I got up on the wrong side of bed today. I have a Vitamix mixer.
So low.
Well, I have this mixer that I use for everything. And I was making a smoothie and I literally don't know what happened. As it happened and my son's sitting there, I go, what is the universe trying to teach me? And then my son goes, are you sure it's the universe, Mom? I'm like, well, I don't know why else this would happen. My mixer literally just, it busted a hole in the plastic. I worked it the same way I've worked it for the 12 years I've had it. Plastic shot everywhere and smoothie literally shot all over my kitchen. I was already running late. Now, did I have to be resilient from that? Yeah, I mean, resilience can be in the minutia of the day, but we're talking about it in a bigger, you know, facet.
The grand scheme of things.
The grand scheme of life. If you're not, when we said this before we came on, if you're not resilient, you said, well, what are you, dead? And what did we say to that? It's that
you're just out from source.
Well, it's that if you're not resilient, then you're just sort of, you're sort of going like this and saying, you're not moving backwards necessarily, but you can't move forward. I think that's as I say this now, that's what comes to me, is that resilience is the momentum, quite frankly, that helps us move forward in whatever it is in our lives that we're needing to, whether it's your career path, your family, your love life, whatever, your education if you feel stuck in a certain way. And we all feel stuck.
Historians can be taught though?
By the school of hard knocks. I'm joking. It's by the school of life
today, folks.
It's the sweater. No, I'm kidding. No, I think it could be, can be taught. Meaning like, could I take a class on how to be resilient? No, my gut instinct to say that it is no. I think it can be learned only by experience. Because are there people that have never had to be resilient? Maybe if your life is just, if it's cush the whole way, but I challenge, and I don't say this with disrespect, people that haven't had to be resilient are not really facing all the truths in their lives. I'm sorry if I'd love to engage in a debate because this would be like a friendly debate. I'm not here to say this is what's right.
Who's listening who wants to come on and have a chat with Deb and I and challenge resilience.
I know some jujitsu, so be careful. No, I'm kidding. But no, seriously, I think that meaning if you've never had anything that like, if the only thing that's happened in your life has been, you know, little Johnny stole your pencil in second grade, consider yourself really lucky. Now,
Or you outside didn't have a job that you wanted, or you know.
But at the same time, Emma, as we know, like whatever age you are, not getting the job you wanted that maybe you've worked your butt off for and you've paid for schooling for and you've put the time into it or what have you, that can feel like something that's the end of the world that you need to have resilience from. But there's such a broad spectrum. But if someone says, nope, I've never had to be resilient from anything, I've never had a bad thing happen, then you're bound to, and you're going to need to learn resilience really quickly because things happen to all of us at various points in our lives. It's just a matter of when.
I had a conversation with Chris of Montclair Medium last week, and I asked him if, you know, people who went through a lot of crap in their lives, who had more seemingly obvious obstacles to overcome. That's a mouthful for someone who's French, by the way. So I need props.
Pretty good. I'm impressed.
I'm like seeing the words in my head as I'm talking. And he said that he definitely believes so, that, you know, the souls who come on, that we feel like around every corner is another lesson, is kind of like we're at that level of being that we're kind of like, I don't know. Have you ever seen the show, The Amazing Race?
Of course.
We're like on the last leg of the race, you know, there's just a few legs left. And so we're running up to the mat trying to get all of these clues and flags. And we, you know, smack our face and get back up and say, okay, fuck, I gotta recenter myself and run because almost there.
Yep.
And I thought that was interesting when he said that, because it's like, if you can see, there are people who, baby souls, you know, who are just so, things go well and everything's great. And you would say, well, that's an old soul. That's an advanced soul. But my gut feeling is the opposite.
They haven't had to go through their trials.
Initiation into the school of birth. It's like, you see, that one.
Unless if you're into past lives, some might say, well, they paid their dues, you know, in all the lifetimes before. So that's another way people look at it.
Thoughts.
There are quite a few. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So resilience, different shapes and sizes. And now we, as two women, two business women, we are starting over. We are choosing to be resilient this year. And to borrow Jen Cramer's phrase, which I loved, she was a guest on Flip the Script. She's the woman who works for NASA. She calls it the bounce back game.
I like that. That sounds very positive.
And I thought that was kind of gangster.
That's good. That is.
Today. So what's our bounce back game?
Well, I think for me, I can only speak for myself. I have to wake up every day and trust myself. I always talk about trust, but I think if there's no self-trust, there's nothing. Because number one, if I can't trust you, if I can't trust me first. And then in the work that I do with mediumship and the psychic intuitive work, I can't trust anything that I'm hearing from source or from my own higher self. I won't trust any of that. It has to start within me. So I think at least my sort of strategy, my bounce back game is waking up and trusting and then living with intention, with purpose. It doesn't mean the things are going to go well or smoothly at all every day, every week. I mean, there could be giant periods where, like now, where I'm, you know, I look at a mostly empty calendar and I go, oh crap, you know, what now? And then there's this, well, I trust in the universe. Well, the universe, yes, I trust in it, but the universe is not going to deliver, you know, 100 clients in my lap for the month of January. So there is a balance, at least for me, in the we'll stick to the bounce back game being the theme, that there has to be a measure of trust in myself with a trust in the universe, with knowing that I'm going to do the work. I'm going to be true to my heart. I'm going to be true to myself. I'm also going to have a lot of faith. This is not religiously speaking, but have faith in something more, in something bigger than me, trusting that. And when those two things work together, I have to trust that where I am in that moment is where I'm supposed to be. But if I'm not happy with that place, I'm the only person that can change it.
I can course correct. Yeah.
I'm the only person that can do that. I can wish, I can hope the universe throws all these things in my path and derails me and you know, throws me a big Hail Mary or whatever people call that. I can put all that out there, but really the only person that can change the situation, this is what I say to clients in a one-on-one private sitting, is that I always say, I'm not a fortune teller because there is free will. Every move my client makes from the time they receive whatever information that they're guided to, that you know, they're guided by either their loved ones in spirit or that's coming from source. They get to use that information how they want or not at all. They can leave our time together and say, well, I really appreciate that. I feel good. That was interesting. Yeah. Moving on, going to the grocery store. Or they can take whatever nuggets they got and use that to help move them forward. That is all about us. That's about us setting the course for our own lives. We're the only people that can do that. So I don't know if that that's counts as part of the bounce back, but.
Yeah, but that's interesting. So as a psychic intuitive medium, are you not able to foresee the outcomes for your life?
For my own life?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question. Let's just say I have seen things and people occurring in my life. The actual end result, I don't see, I don't know that I want to see that. I would like there to be a lot left to mystery because I want to soak up every minute of
that.
Not
your time of death or, you know, will your kids get married or
all. No.
But are you able to sit with yourself and say, what does the next month look like? What are the breadcrumbs that I need to be following? What are the inspired steps I need to be taking?
Usually what I hear for myself is more generalized information. It's not, okay, Deb, this is what you need to do. You need to get yourself on 4 podcasts. You need to do 5 group demonstrations. It's not specific. You know, start to, you know, you're misaligned. I hear when I'm in meditation, sometimes I'm not in meditation. Sometimes if I'm having a moment where I'm sad and I'll hear, you're not giving up. You know, you're too strong for that. I'll hear motivation. I mean, you know, it's like, I have, you know, motivational.
I know, like fucking Tony Robbins and
stuff. Yeah, basically it's
desire all the time because I've listened to so many of his audio and they get mad at me because a lot of the things I hear is follow your heart. Your heart will never steer you wrong.
So things like that.
And I'm like,
what does that mean? But the thing
is, does my heart pay the bills?
But that's the work, Emma, and that's why we're all here. So in answer to that question, I don't get it out in details because they, whatever you want to call it, my guides or source, whatever, they want this to be a free will thing where I'm making the tactical moves for my life. Everything I do, every word I speak, whether it's to clients or people in my personal life, all of that has a ripple effect. So I have to be mindful of my words. I have to be mindful of my actions. Most importantly, I have to be mindful of the words I say to myself because that has one of the biggest impact. I can tell myself I'm an F up and look at my business is barely getting off the ground. I've barely been in bit, like, you know, how can I even say that to myself? Like my life is brand new in a way.
Yeah.
And so I can look at it as like, oh crap, my life is brand new. I need to have this. I should have had this. Or I can say, my life is brand new. Would you expect your infant, your 3 week old, to be running up and down the street? No. You know, it's a whole, like, you have to crawl before you can walk. And that's such a ridiculous cliche, but I get it.
Yeah.
I haven't, forgetting crawling.
Quality over quantity as well over the last few weeks, quality over quantity, quality over quantity. And one of the things that came up was I was in the car again, and all of a sudden I could just hear diamonds are made under pressure. And I heard that very loud and clear. And I was like, who's saying that? I'm like, diamonds are made under pressure. Interesting. Ugh. And then came home, opened my phone, see a TikTok video. And this woman's like, let me share a story about diamonds and escaping the matrix. And I was
there,
like,
there you go. Thank you. Thank
and
you.
And then a song comes on. So little whispers like that, yeah, that can help you.
They're not so little, really. I mean, if
they're
you're
not, they're not little.
If you're paying attention, because they're there for all of us.
But that's the thing. You have to be paying attention, because quantity over quality over quantity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone could get this little inspiration in their head and go, that's strange. Where did that come from? Bullshit, and ignore it.
But does it really matter where it's come from? Does it really, do you no. care which of your guy, if that's how you do things, do you care which guide or who?
Not at all.
All I know is if
for someone who's listening.
Yeah.
You know, the way to describe it is that it's these little whispers.
Yeah. And sometimes it's, for me, they've been little whispers. They've also been like megaphone, like screaming in my ear. The big things, the big life choices that I've made, especially over the past 5 years, have been like megaphone in my ear, impossible to ignore. Now that can happen to people and they still ignore it. And good on you for being able to do that. I could not, you know, turn, you know, a deaf ear to something that was so incredibly loud about my own life and my own path. Yeah.
I think the question came because one of my frustrations when I got the news from Christine was, why wasn't I warned?
Well,
why didn't I get a sign saying that?
What would that have done for you, Emma, if you'd
gotten
a sign?
And that's the answer. Yeah, that's exactly the answer.
Would you have called her? And I mean, did you tell?
It made me feel more like shit because it's COVID. I can't get to Florida. I couldn't have been by her side, but that's the question. I think that's so important for our listeners. One of the questions for me was, I've been doing this spiritual development work for 2.5 years. I practice gratitude every single day. I'm in love with all that is there that we cannot see. Mm-hmm. And I'm respectful of it. And I was angry. As why am I so connected in certain ways? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, there was no sign, there was no warning. And that's exactly the answer that came immediately.
Yeah.
What would it have changed? And I think that's important to highlight.
It's very important to highlight, because a lot of people in grief go through that. Like, why didn't I just make that phone call? And this is going to be super cliche, but everyone should hear this. And that's why when I say live with intention and speak your words, and I don't just mean like, oh, let your kids know you love them before you leave. I mean, to people. I post this on my Soul Wisdom page, and I do these Sunday musings, these videos. And 2 weeks ago, I was completely uninspired all day. And then at like 7:30 at night when my kids are home, I literally had to do it in my closet. My dog follows me in. And I literally just, it was about say it, say what you feel for the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you're having an issue with someone, you can say it respectfully, let it out, because we don't want to get a phone call from anyone. We don't want to have news about our life. Let's say that something, you know, gets cut short with us. You never regret the things that you don't, that you do say, maybe brief, but
yeah.
And that you said them for a reason.
I was like, what if I died tomorrow? What are the open tabs that I haven't closed? Because I wouldn't want anyone in my life to have any
exactly
how I felt.
So exactly.
That's great. So now I'm going to ask you to turn your medium hat on and answer this question for me, because this is another one that came up, and I have to ask it because I'm being guided to, and I think it's a question that keeps popping up for me. When we leave our physical body, so from the time we pass to the time we get to where we're going, how long in human time, because time doesn't exist beyond the veil. So how long in human time does it take for the soul to have crossed, done its review, and that it's able to start communicating with us on earth and show us signs? Ooh, I just got chills.
That's a wonderful question. I can't give you a scientific answer. I can tell you from my experience as a medium, mm-hmm. I did a session for someone and I started talking about this woman's uncle and I didn't know anything about this. And he's sharing memories and he was dying of COVID. In fact, they were getting ready in 2 days to take him off life support. So what you could say is then his soul was already leaving his body, right? If you want to, and this, again, anyone listening, this is not based in science. I'm speaking from merely my experience as a medium that connects with people in the spirit world. I have connected with someone that recently passed, you know, a matter of, you know, 6 hours or so with a woman. And the whole session, because she was not very tech savvy and she didn't have Zoom. So we ended up doing everything. And I don't like to work this way, but we ended up doing everything just via text. And it was her mother. And she said 2 hours later, her mother had died. Like all things are happening like this with me.
So there's no set time.
All I can say is I don't know.
On the soul, like if the soul, because I hear that some souls are confused when they die. They're angry, they're upset, and it takes a little bit longer for them to.
I've heard of that too, but I don't know. I've heard of that, but I would. I don't like to say things because those words can really be upsetting to a person in grief. Oh, well, your ex-husband was too, he died. He's so pissed off or he's so angry that now his soul is like stuck. Like, I think that's very misrepresentative. I think it is fear-based. And I think no one, unless you've been in there with him, wherever he is passing through, I just think that can really cause more harm than good.
Like, you know, not fear-based, but like the waiting room, you know, like, did this really happen? Do I really want to follow the light?
I was told by
what's interesting about what you're saying and why I love these conversations with you and it resonates is that, you know, if we base it on the philosophy that we are all, you know, here in this 3D reality, we act and are conditioned to believe that we are all separate, that I am me and you are you. And, you know, we are all individuals, but on the non-physical plane, we're all connected. We're all one collective consciousness.
Right.
And so the physical meat suit, source is laughing, but that, you know, the battery ending on that and us, mm-hmm. I really believe that our consciousness, even though it's still in our body and we're in the process of, you know, waiting for the jet to come pick us up, that we can still communicate.
100%.
We don't have all of the data on our brain. We don't know what 90% of this blob does. So who knows when you're in that deep trance between being alive and just being on the cusp of glory, you know, where our soul can travel to, who knows?
When, why am I able to connect with people that have dementia, like late stage Alzheimer's. I've connected at one woman, both of her parents had Alzheimer's and I was connecting with them. And I connected with someone that was in a coma. Thank God he ended up waking up the next day, but that's consciousness, right? I mean, that's our soul speaking. And if consciousness never dies, whether we're in a coma, whether we are, you know, frozen in that sense, and people that have ALS, that to me is one of the most horrific diseases, because we're still there, but our body is.
Parkinson's as well.
Parkinson's, all of these things.
Yeah. And also when we dream, right? Because I just shared a very vivid mm-hmm. dream with you. But when we fall asleep and we dream, our consciousness doesn't stop.
Does not stop. Nope.
Right? That's a nonstop thing. Mm-hmm. Where are we going? What we're seeing? How are we,
right?
You know?
And how do we come back? Like when that alarm clock goes off, like why that, you know, where have we gone in our, you know, dream time state or, and because I'm sure everyone could say, like, sometimes you feel like you literally left the building. Like we were just not there. Right. Yeah. When we're sleeping.
That's what I was sharing with you. And right. You said that you were like, it's like a near death experience, but not really.
Yeah.
When you're asleep and you wake up from it.
Yeah.
But you know, many people say that when we leave our bodies, that we're still tied through this.
Yes.
This cord, back cord, to our
yeah.
bodies, but that we do visit different planes and different mm-hmm. timelines. different realities. So who knows?
Who knows? That's the beauty of life, is that there's so much more out there than we can even comprehend. And that's what's sad is that a lot of people are quick to say, no, that's not possible. But how do you know? Now, I can't tell you as a fact, as a guarantee, but you also can't tell me that it's not possible. And I think if we were just more open to what can be, it's amazing how much we could see and hear and experience when we open ourselves to that. When we shut it down and go, nope, that's crazy. That's not possible. So her mom, that woman has Alzheimer's. This lady, me, can't, you know, bring information. How do you know? How do you know if you haven't had the experience? And again, I never, ever push the experience, a mediumship or a psychic mediumship experience onto somebody. But it's amazing when you have a skeptic that says, it's not possible. And then they experience it. It's really eye-opening because it just shows us there is so much more out there past like the 3D, like you say, the physical realm. There's so much more that none of us can understand. No one will have all the answers because we haven't experienced all that there is to experience yet, which to me is like the beauty of life. Yeah. And we're not meant to. In my mind, we're not meant to know it all. And we're meant to experience it and then share the experiences, because that's what keeps us, as you say, connected to one unity, one consciousness. The more we can share, the more we can connect on different levels with people, the more experiences that we're able to have like that. And then we are just, you know, the more interconnected we can be and the more open we can be, it allows for better.
I love that. One of my questions for you is, when I was meditating this week and I was trying to connect, it was very subtle, but they kept telling, you know, I kept hearing, reach for love, reach for the vibration of love, because I think I was so low and in grief and sadness. And even though I thought like, oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. Everything was coming out blurry and more fear-based in my meditation. And so reaching for thoughts of love and gratitude immediately raised my vibration, and what was coming in resonated with me. How does your personal life cross over to your mediumship life? Like the blender explodes in your face. You're like, what the fuck is this about? You know, the dog pees on the carpet, the car doesn't start. And then you're going into a session. What do you need to do as a human and as a, you know, as a medium professionally to calibrate your energy, so you're not in that pissed off state?
I have to quiet everything down. I really almost have to step outside of myself, which is how it works for a medium in a reading. My ego mind, I can't be logically present and thinking. I have to be, I always say, a passive participant. So it's quieting everything. And I just sort of, I move the ego mind and move all, meaning all the stuff, like the shit that had the blender and all the things, and the dog peeing on the rug gets put aside. And when I'm in that mode and I set the intention that I'm here as the conduit, I'm not here as the grumpy middle-aged woman that had a rough morning. I then am in my role of, I'm here to serve spirit. I'm here to serve whomever client I'm working with and for. That takes number one priority. And if it were something that were so bad, if I was grief stricken or there was something, when I was going through my divorce, when I was dealing with things like that, I have canceled on a client, rescheduled, because I have to give them the best of me. And the best of me is me being as trusting, as out of my own mind as I can be, as in the moment. And if I am so distraught, I told you, my mentor, John Johnson, always says mediumship is life and life is mediumship. It's very hard to separate the two. But there's always going to be the little annoyances, the daily things in life. When I'm working, when I'm in that mode, it's very quick that I'm able to center myself and ground and kind of push that side of me to another place. And when I'm working, it's like, I'm not even there. That part of me is not even there. I'm so in tune. I'm such a conduit that everything. So I'm not in a session with you and going like, I'm sharing messages from your grandmother, or I'm giving you a message from source, but I'm just like, oh crap. I didn't sign my kid's permission slip. And oh no, I have, you know, the guy coming to fix my toilet.
That wouldn't work.
No. And then you're talking to like an ADHD brain here. So amazingly enough, all those things I try to process in the moment when I'm working with a client, boom, it goes aside. And so your listeners know, if ever the medium intuitive cannot, then they need, because we're human beings and we have things that happen in life, real life problems. We get sad. We're not angels. We're like, everything is love and light and peace. I like to be as full of love as I can, but I have really crappy days. And if it's such a crappy day that I can't put my own stuff aside, then I will not dump my stuff on a client. I would never, ever do that. And that's really the responsibility of the medium, to be in touch with themselves and to know, are they, you know, are we bouncing back? Are, you know, to get back, that are we feeling resilient enough? And are we trusting enough to know not only when it's going to be a solid day for sessions with clients, or if I'm just really not feeling it today, I owe myself that to take the time, and I owe my client that. So that's really very important.
There's an affirmation from Florence Scovel Shinn. And the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, you know, cause I thought that was, I didn't realize what I'd heard. And I heard it a second time and a third time. And the third time I went, wait a second, what is she saying? And you know, we've been conditioned to say, never put off to tomorrow what you can, what do, you can today. Do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she says, never do today what spirit nudges you to do tomorrow.
It's true.
And that really resonated, because how often do we want to push through and just got to get it done? And we get in the car and we're rushing and bam, and all of the things, because we think we have to do everything now, even when it feels yucky.
We don't listen to ourselves. That's the problem, is that there are a lot of even small crises that could be averted if we just stopped for a moment, take a pause, take a breath.
Collaborate and listen. No,
I love that song. But seriously, there is so much in that pause that you can discover for yourself, that you'll actually give yourself the chance to hear. And in that pause, resilience can happen. And I mean, let's tie it back around, but it's really true. Yeah. Because if you go back to what I said resilience was being in each moment with intention, the pause allows you to do that. If you're pushing your way and like rushing through everything, you're not taking the pause. And before you know it, you've steamrolled and you've ended up, you know, in a position or a situation or whatever that
we attach our worth to doing. And I'm laughing. Yeah, well, that's, I've caught myself in the last couple of weeks where, exactly as you said, it's like, okay, I've got this to do, and then what? And, you know, conditioning myself to say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then I'm walking down my hallway and I just kind of stop. And I'm just looking around and I have to start laughing, because I'm like, where am I going? What am I doing? And the thing that I think that I should be doing. And I'll kind of just like walk around in circles for a bit, you know, and try to calibrate the compass of, okay, this is something that I'm conditioned to think that I need to do. For some reason, I've attached it to my worth. And if I'm not doing, then I'm not worthy. And it's a whole shit show.
But you're doing, you're focused.
Really,
on
all I
want
to do is go take a bath.
And then that's what you should do. So doing and being are not the same thing. And the human focus is always on the doing. And you know, we're not called human doings, are we? We're called human beings.
Oh, I
and
like that.
But that's for a reason. That oh my just God, came out. I gotta remember that. Could you trademark that for me? I'm sure someone has said this before, but it's true. We're not human doings, but yet we shouldn't be, but yet we are, because that's how, you know, and I'm American, at least that's how Americans operate. And it's a shame, because that's why it becomes the rat race. Because if everybody's doing over here and we're being, we're like, oh, but they're, it's the majority that they're doing that. And I'm just being. No, there's no just being. This is what we're here to do. We're here to be. And if we could focus more on being, maybe we would be better humans. If it's the doing that creates the stress and the ego and the outdoing each other, we're not in it. This is not, the world is not about, yes, it's about competition. I know people are gonna say that's how we get, you know, what is it? Society. What's the thing? There's a term for it, money. And, capitalism. I couldn't think of the freaking name, but you know, Elon Musk didn't just get there, become successful by being. No,
yeah, but you know what? He had inspired action.
And that's part of
the one inspiration.
Yeah.
Anyone balls to the walls.
Yeah. And we should all go balls to the walls. But if we focused a little less on the doing, I think we could balls to the walls
with what feels good to us.
Well, not only that, but
other people are expecting of us. And I know we're running out of time, but I do want to say something to you because I think it's hilarious. So I'm chatting with someone just after New Year's right before New Year's. And they're like, so what are your resolutions and stuff that you want to do? And I was like, this year, I really want to lean into curiosity. So it's not one resolution. It's about doing things every month that I'm curious about.
I like that.
And so like, I want to try 12 different things that I'm curious, but kind of skeptical about, and really lean into like, why does that look so cool? But I'm almost embarrassed that I think it's cool. And I want to explore. Right. She's like, oh, okay. Like what? And I'm like, well, I've been, you know, reading a lot about and seeing these videos about these sound bath healing things. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, those people that have like the bowls and like the thing. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, what does that have to do with it? And well, I'm like, every time I watch a video, my soul, my higher self, like the non-physical me from like the top of my head to my toes, like has an eargasm. But my physical me, my personality me is I can't even say it. I'm just like, what a bunch of fucking kooks. They're there all. But my higher self is just like, oh, just like just doing the eargasm joy. But the eyeball looking me, I'm just kind of like, could you just imagine me walking down the street chanting? And so I want to lean into that because there's clearly something there. My higher self, something pulling me. It's, I feel it. Some of them just go, you'll feel it in the chakra. Bing. And I'm like, oh, my sacral chakra has opened. I know there's something to it, but the human skeptical funny me is like, so anyway, so that's one of the things. And then when you sent me the message for our listeners, Deb sends me this message, how she's now getting into this sound healing.
Well, I've been I'm trained in sound healing, but now we're doing more of it. I'm doing group sound healings. Yeah.
So do you hear the irony?
Always irony. Yeah.
A week before, I'm like, I really want to lean into this. My heart is being called to this. I want to know more about it.
Yep. We'll talk after.
So I want to know more about it for our listeners. Are these workshops that you offer? What are you doing with your life now?
That's a very loaded question. So I took part at I went to a yoga studio that unfortunately closed during COVID, but for about a year and a half, I went every Sunday and I took a sound bath or did a sound journey. It's essentially an hour long class where you lie on a yoga mat and you're covered with blankets. And there is a myriad of sound instruments, multiple gongs, multiple crystal singing bowls, drums, shamanic drums, you name it, rain sticks.
You have to chant though.
We don't do anything
did you giggle at first or I don't know why?
Not at all. It was the most, I've had some of my, like, I'm not a drug person. I've never been done, dropped acid or however you say it, or done shrooms or whatever. But from what I picture a hallucinogenic to be, I would never need them because that's what I've had some of my most profound experiences outside of meditation in these sound healings.
And I've heard that. And please, whoever's listening, do not misinterpret my giddiness with disrespect towards this practice or the art. It's really to highlight what leaning into curiosity looks like. And that's what's important for the listeners, because when I talk about my higher self or my soul is when I hear the sounds and I see, you know, the people who practice I feel it in my heart. Like I feel all the things, and it's the skepticism, which I think, you know, it's shedding.
A lot of people have that. Yeah.
Shedding the judgment. And so I'm having a very human experience right now with all of you.
Yes.
And I think that's this new year, the emphasis needs to be on what areas of our life can we kind of evaluate and observe and sit with and say, what does shedding judgment of ourselves and of things that could bring us so much joy?
Yep.
What does that look like? Why am I skeptical? What's happened in my life? Did I encounter someone? Did I meet someone? Is it the fear of the judgment of what people would think? Because my soul's so in love with it and I learn things so quickly that I'm probably going to fall in love with it. Is it this subconscious fear of judgment of what people will think if I start doing it? So these are all the things that we have to lean into this year and explore on our healing and resilience journey.
Very important.
right? Because resilience is also, you know, I love the thing, the weeble wobble thing you're talking about, but when we get knocked out by life and we bounce back, what have we learned?
That's the biggest thing. What's the takeaway? There has to be a takeaway.
What can we do differently so that we don't get clocked between the eyes again? You know, maybe it'll be upside the head next time.
I was just going to say, maybe in a different way or different form, but you're going to learn enough from that to not repeat the cycle that got you there in the first place. That's
my highlight, because I do respect Deb and all of the spiritual practices very, very much. And so I wanted to share that human moment. So you had one of the most profound experiences while you're at this.
Oh, I would keep a journal in my car and I wouldn't talk afterwards. I mean, I didn't go with friends. I would go by myself, but some of the students would sit around and it's a darkened room. They'd be very quiet afterwards. And I would just go sit in my car and I would need to almost come down from, you know, this sort of spiritual high, if you will. But it's amazing for people that have anxiety, that have depression. I'll send you an article on it. This is not just a woo-woo thing. Sound has been used for thousands of years.
And that's why I say when I feel it in my soul, I'm not joking.
It's a literal thing. No. It's
I feel it in my fucking soul. Like, being called back to something.
Yes. Yes. In a lot of ways it is, but it also it's the frequency, the vibration of sound actually helps provide an energetic release. So there will be people that start giggling in a sound bath. Okay. There are people that will, I used to cry. There are a lot of people that will cry. People that will like instantaneously fall asleep. You'll hear people snoring.
I watched a video of someone who was doing thing and, you know, tears started streaming down my face.
Oh, I used to cry.
Like, what the heck? And then, you know, I'll watch someone else and I'll laugh.
Yeah.
So I
used to cry a lot, because I was releasing, but, you asked about chanting, and I'm gonna connect you with my dear friend, another Deb, who is an incredible, gifted Reiki master, spiritual teacher, but she's also a sound healer. And we offer these group healings together. We're doing one for about 50 people outdoors because we can here in Arizona. This coming weekend, we offer it for free. And she does chanting, which is also called vocal toning. So she will chant while she's playing her crystal bowl over each person. And I'm subtly playing the tones of my gong in the background. And then we're sort of washing it down with, I have a monsoon, that stick in the background. If you can see that, that's a monsoon stick. And when you're not looking, I mean, for so long, I didn't even know what the instruments were that the sound healing teachers in my yoga studio were using. One was like, it sounds like they're crunching on leaves. And let me tell you, I literally left the building. I felt like I was in this forest and there were all these, I mean, there were so many trippy things that happened.
Like those jujigaroos or jujigaloos, you know?
Didgeridoos. Didgeridoos. Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Didgeridoos. They're an Australian instrument. Yeah. Yeah. That's also, like, I mean, that's
sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their sound is incredibly powerful. It's amazing that you're talking about this now. And of course, very, you know, ironic.
Deb, where is she?
Oh my God, you have to. Yeah. She is amazing. And she will go into great detail about sound is really powerful. And what I've learned that I didn't know why I felt called to take a sound healing certification. It was a whole entire weekend, like a lot of, I don't know if it was 40 hours or something that we did. But I was called to learn it from the opposite. Yes, I was experiencing it, but I wanted to learn. I never thought that I would bring one of these bad boys home. That's my gong. Sorry for making everyone dizzy. And I never would have thought that my crystal bowl is in here, but that I would have bought a crystal singing bowl. They're such powerful healing instruments. I love
that. That's following the breadcrumbs. I'm like that too. I'm like, I'll try it, but then I want to know more.
And that's what I did. And I also found that it's an extension of my mediumship. I mean, I'm connected to source. So when I'm playing, they call the gong. It has infinite sounds. It's known as an instrument of the divine. And when you hear, you know, people think of like the old gong show that was an American TV show back in the day in the 70s, you hit it. It has one sound, infinite sounds. Every time I play this instrument, it's never heard the same way twice. And everyone experiences
Buddhism as well. No, Buddhism, Hinduism, there's gongs, right?
There's sound involved in all of those cultures. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Sound has been around from the get-go.
So this is cool that here I am talking about sound baths and sound healings. And I had no idea you were doing this. And now we're having this conversation and now I'm going to have an experience.
And then you wanted to do a theme of resilience. And I happen to post about resilience. That's called synchronicity, right? In its best form.
Yeah. That is. And so anyone who's listening, who's like, oh, nothing like that ever happens to me, because I'll share my stories of synchronicities. And they're like, you're so lucky. And I'm like, no, dude, it's happening to you all the time.
All the time. We just have to be open your eyes. But we
call it a coincidence.
Right? I don't believe in this. I
read your message and been like, oh, that's cool. She's doing a sound bath workshop. And then I vividly saw myself having the conversation while I'm having the conversation, seeing the video, because I can see all of this on the screen of my mind.
Yeah.
And then just going, oh, that's so cool. Yay. Thanks.
Yep. So we weren't actually teaching a workshop. We were doing a sound healing for people. So they were coming outside with their yoga mats and their blankets.
Oh, so they're
and
just
Deb and I it. Set up. They're just enjoying it. We're not teaching it. I have gone through a workshop. I have been taught to be able
You're
to
certified to.
I am certified. I have a
healing of it.
Yes, to be a sound healing practitioner.
Okay, so that's a whole other episode.
Whole other episode. You got to get Deb Lambert on for that.
So we're going to end this episode on the topic of resilience. And what is your nugget, your tip, your piece of advice for someone who started off the new year, maybe on the same foot as I have, where it's kind of like, ooh, this was unexpected and it sucks and it's painful and it hurts. How can I be resilient with grace without denying myself the honest, raw emotions, like without being fake about it?
Just allow yourself the time to experience. There's no clock set. I hate that this is a new year and everyone thinks, oh, I now have, what's today? The 6th. So I have 359 more days. No, I didn't do the math right, but whatever. I only have so many more days. There is no time limit.
359.
Thank you. My dad was a math teacher, retired math teacher. So I should have been able to do that really quickly in my head. If he's watching this, he'll be very proud. You have to get up every day and allow yourself to feel however you feel. You don't need to feel better. You don't need to.
I love that.
There's
the moments, right?
Yeah.
I caught myself feeling guilty for not being either okay faster or, you know, more grieving. And then when I was in the car and I had that moment where the song Joey, or I don't know what the name of that song is.
I know.
Is it called Joey?
I think it's called Joey.
When that song came on and the tears started streaming down my face, I sat with it. I allowed it to be.
Yeah.
And I released it. And so it's important what you're saying, that every day we choose. And I think sometimes it's moment by moment. I say that I live a lot of time, 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those periods. So if we remove the judgment and the pressure from this is a new year.
From ourselves that we place, like there's going to be pressure from everybody else. We have to kind of go inward and just allow each moment to present itself as it does. When you take away that pressure, those expectations of being more, better, thinner, faster, you know, more productive. It's always an ER on the end. I want to be better. Like it's always, I want to be better, more or bigger. It doesn't have to be that complicated. It's really just about allowing the moment to exist. And again, not human doing, human being. We have to really focus more. And I say this to myself too, trust me, that we have to focus more on being and not caring so much about doing and outdoing one another. That's not what we're here for. We're here to make each other better. I know we've gotten really outside of that, especially in my country with life, but we really can, if we can help feel better ourselves, we can be better with and for each other. And that's why we're all here. It's not just about how much can I sock away in my bank account and what kind of car can I drive and how great are my clothes. And I know this is so cliche, but it's genuinely how I feel. It just doesn't do anything. Think about how you can help make someone feel good by assisting them somehow or holding the door open. It's tiny acts like that that help us stay in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes everything better.
Human experiences. Stuff.
Correct.
Great. I love it.
And thank you.
I am so grateful for you. And I can't wait to chat with you again. I said it many times, but it should be like a weekly.
I know. Thing. Right.
Where can our listeners find you if this is their first time tuning in and hearing you?
I am at thesoulwisdom.com, thesoul wisdom.com. My business is called Soul Wisdom, but the website is The Soul Wisdom. Or I'm on Instagram, which is at Soul Wisdom, letter A, letter Z, because I'm in Arizona.
It's so cool. So, And if you want to know how you can reach Deb, you can always email me and I will hook you up. So in the words of my friend Deb, resilience is?
I said it's intention in every moment. It's just
intention in every moment. And visualize, yeah, though, would you call it a weeble?
The weeble wobble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Right? Yes.
Don't allow yourself to stay down, but allow yourself to feel it. Thank you to everyone for joining us on this very special episode. And we look forward to creating incredible content for season 2 of Coffee with Source. Thank you.